Abraham Lincoln, Stephen Hawking, and Steve Jobs show up in contemporary films and are called geniuses. Then there are Academy Award-winning actors, such as Daniel Day-Lewis and Eddie Redmayne, who portray the brilliant individuals in those films. Are they geniuses too? The swimmer Michael Phelps is called a locomotive genius. The tennis stars Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal hit genius strokes. Yo-Yo Ma has been referred to as a cello genius. The College of Business Administration of the University of Nebraska at Omaha offers an annual course titled The Genius of Warren Buffett. On May 23, 2019, Donald Trump stood before television cameras at the White House and declared himself an extremely stable genius. Not to be outdone, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has dubbed himself the genius of all geniuses. How do we explain this longing for genius, as the writer George Eliot, Marianne Evans, expressed it in 1872? Beneath our excessive popular use of this term rests a serious, timeless, and profoundly human desire to understand the unknown. To do so, we simplify, attributing the complex agency of many previous thinkers to a single, exemplary individual, the genius. Often the genius assumes the qualities of a savior, and thus gives humanity hope for a better world. At the same time, the genius provides solace, an explanation, even an excuse for our own shortcomings. Oh well, no wonder, she's a genius. But still, we wonder, how is the magic trick done? What is hidden beneath the surface? Discarding the myths surrounding those exceptional individuals, what were or are their lives and habits really like? And what can we learn from them? In 1951, doctors at Massachusetts General Hospital wired an EEG machine to the brain of Albert Einstein and watched the bobbing needle in an attempt to find the seat of his genius. After Einstein died in 1955, an enterprising pathologist, the Yale-trained Dr. Thomas Harvey, extracted his brain and cut it into 240 neat slices that he and others could examine. Although every nook, cranny, and sulcus of Einstein's cerebral matter has now been studied, neuroscientists still can't begin to explain how his imaginative thought process worked. Forensic pathologists in Salzburg have tried to match Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's skull with the DNA of relatives in that city's St. Sebastian Cemetery. Thus far, however, Mozart's genome remains elusive. Similarly, scientists in Milan are digging into the DNA of Leonardo da Vinci, but again, no genius gene has been identified. Why are we not surprised? Genius involves the complicated expression of too many hidden personal traits to be reduced to a single location and process in our brain or on our chromosomes. How an exceptional individual's traits work together to produce genius will remain a mystery. What these traits are, and how they can be cultivated, however, is the subject of this book. To begin with, what is genius? The answer depends on whom you ask and when. The ancient Greeks had several words for genius, among them daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N, demon or spirit, and mania, a creative fury that consumed an inspired poet. We get our English word genius from the Latin noun genius, meaning guardian spirit. In classical Greece and Rome, everyone had a guardian spirit who, oddly, did not belong to him. From the Latin word genius arose the French genie, and from it, in turn, the English genie. Think of the genie waiting to emerge from the magic lantern in Walt Disney's Aladdin films. Think also of the candles on your birthday cake and the wish you make. Since Roman times, those candles and that wish have served as an annual votive offering.